In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we're continuing with volume 24, September 5th, 1928. And Jesus speaking to Louisa, he says, each truth that I have manifested to you, Louisa. So each truth, each lesson, everything that Jesus is teaching Louisa, how to live in the divine will. Okay, see, this is so important to Jesus that as the Word of God, he's telling Louisa that each truth, each lesson that I have manifested to you are gifts of divine life that I give to you. Now, this is something that is so extraordinary. You're going to discover as you read, as Jesus said, there's many, many books out there in the world. He says, this is the only book that will transform a soul. So this transformation that takes place with us is the Lord speaking to us collectively to the church, but also individually. And as we read this, you know, people have said, have asked, how do we live in the divine will? What do we need to do to live in the divine will? What is the formula? What is the prayer? How do you enter into this? I mean, there's many, many questions. Jesus said, every question that you have is answered by Jesus himself in the 36 volumes. And he says, first of all, that Jesus being the eternal word, as he speaks, he says, it is a divine life that I breathe into you. Now, why would Jesus say this? Because Louisa once said to Jesus, when Adam was created, the Ruah of God, the breath of God breathed into Adam and out came out of the dust with the image and likeness of God. Can you do this now with us? Can you breathe this into us? And Jesus said, Adam was just dust. And as much as God wanted to breathe into that dust, he could. And what came out of the dust was the image and likeness of God. So today he says, you're already formed. He said, so I have to breathe in you with each word that I speak to you. You're already formed. And now I want to expand your capacity to embrace this Ruah of God, this breath of God. This is why, you know, we hear often there's going to be a second Pentecost, making the first Pentecost look like a drop in the bucket compared to this abundant life that's coming. So he says, every word that I speak to you, every word that I manifest to you, every lesson that I give to you are gifts of divine life that I, God, give to you. And I, God, give you the freedom not only to keep this great gift for yourself, but to multiply it. Now this is, you know, when you first hear this, you go, well, how do I multiply this gift? Okay, now, when you look at the priest at Holy Mass, he can have one host. He can have 10 hosts. He can have 100 hosts. He can have 1,000 hosts. And this multiplication is understood by the church by what God has given to the priesthood. Now, this new and divine way of holiness that's coming that God wants us to enter into is to multiply your acts. So let's look at when I breathe. When you wake up in the morning, you do your prevenient act. And your actual acts throughout the day. When you begin that prevenient act, what do you say? You say, Lord, in the name of everyone and everything, this breath that I take, in the name of all of humanity, I want to adore you and love you and praise you and thank you and bless you and worship you. I want with all of humanity to present to you this breath that each and every one of us has done, not only today, but past, present, and future. This is a multiplication of all the I love yous. And when you begin to learn this prayer, and it's continuous learning. It's that you just don't learn it and you know it. You get a glimpse, and then you get another glimpse, and then you get another. He's constantly expanding your capacity to enter into this multiplication that happens. So Jesus said to Louisa, when you pray in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future, he says, I, God, now hear you with in all of humanity praying with your voice, adoring God and loving God and praising God. And that I love you is eternal. It will last forever. Because why? It's Jesus in you that's doing it. It's not my I love you. It's I love you, Jesus. You give to the Father your I love you. And I want to be with you. So what God has done is he's given us a link to the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. And that's Louisa. She's the one who God taught this, that what she put down on paper. And as we read it, as we study it, as we put it into practice, we learn how to multiply every heartbeat, every breath, every step that you take, everything becomes one with God, because this is what Jesus did. This is what Mary did. So when Jesus and Mary came to the earth to give us redemption, now God wants us, after 2,000 years of being faithful and obedient to Christ in his church, now after 2,000 years, he wants us now to begin to live this true life of Jesus, this true life of Mary, little by little. So with the prevening act, we begin to understand that, you know, as the church says, if you're the only one in church in front of the monstrance, kneeling in front of Jesus himself, Lord God Almighty, you represent all of humanity. The church teaches us. So we begin to pray in the name of everyone and everything, the way Jesus did, the way Mary did. When Jesus was on the cross, he took upon himself all of our sin, all of our worry, all of our fear, all of our anxiety, all of our complaints, all our negativity, all our doubts. And that's why he said the final gift that I give to my church, he said this to St. Faustina, is divine mercy. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I believe in you. Jesus, I have confidence in you. You're my Lord, my Savior, my Master, my King. You're my all. And what happens is, little by little, you let go of the things of the world and embrace your true life. Your eternal life is to be in heaven, in eternity, enjoying the beatific vision, participating in seeing God, loving God, possessing God. And this gift of gifts, this prodigy of prodigies that God gives us, begins. It's beginning. So he says to Louisa, everything that I've said to you, Louisa, and this is why it's so wonderful to read, to study, to put into practice these truths. We're going through the titles of Louisa and these 40 days before her anniversary of her entrance into heaven, March 4th. And what is happening as we begin to hear each day, 200 new titles. And again, there are some repeats, but Jesus is just saying, this title that I've given to Louisa is essential for you to understand who this Louisa Picaretta is. You know, some people say, oh, people exaggerate Louisa. Jesus doesn't exaggerate Louisa. He tells us exactly who she is for us to understand that a new and divine way of holiness has been given to the earth. That's the prophecy that John Paul II prophesied at the canonization of St. Honorable de Francia. This new and divine way of holiness has begun. This new and divine way of holiness is for anyone who wants it. And that's why Jesus keeps on saying to Louisa, this is basically the gift of gifts. I give you this gift of divine life. I give it to you as God. I give this to you. And I give you the freedom, not only to keep this gift for yourself, but to multiply it. Think about it. We stand in the breach for humanity. Because Jesus said, this is what Moses did for the Israelites. They stood in the breach. He says, but I want you to stand in the breach for all of humanity, all those that I redeemed. Because we're living in a time where the evil one has been given permission to do what he's doing. Why? God gives everyone the freedom to do what they want. And with the devil thinks he's going to destroy God. Kind of, you know, crazy there. A creature going to destroy holy, holy, holy Lord God of Sabaoth. I don't think so. It's so he's giving, like he said to Louisa, I have to release all the demons. And Jesus said to Louisa, you're the Son of God. You don't have to do this. And he said to Louisa, Louisa, you don't understand. Humanity wants this and I have to give it to them. So that's where we are. So as humanity, and we hear this in scripture, as time goes on, and the saints have said it over and over, as time goes on, the bride of Christ must go to Calvary to be crucified with their Lord. Okay, so the good will get better, the bad will get worse. And that's where we are. It's this division. It's night and day. Which one do you want? It's light or darkness. It's the sheep or the goats. It's the wheat or the tares. What side do you want? And that's what we're experiencing. We're experiencing a wake up. People are becoming awakened to there is evil, and evil is reigning on earth. Now, why? If Jesus has redeemed us, why is this happening? It's very simple. When Adam obeyed Lucifer, I will not serve, I will not obey, echoing that those words, not listening to God, he said one thing: do not eat the fruit of the tree in the center of the garden. And the evil one lies, and he attacks, he mocks, he ridicules what God is all about. And Adam agreed with that, so he had to leave paradise. And Jesus said, I saw Lucifer fall like lightning to the earth. That's where we had to go. We obeyed him. So for the last 6,000 years, we've been under the thumb of the evil one. And 2,000 years ago, Jesus and Mary came to earth to redeem us. And now Jesus says, now is the time for sanctification. Now is the time where the separation takes place. And so as we pray, as we stand in the breach, not only for our families, our friends, our neighbors, our coworkers, our parishioners, we stand in the breach for all of humanity, past, present, and future. And saying to the Lord what he is asking us to do, to hear him, because he's the word. We have to hear him and then be faithful to him. So each truth that I've manifested to you, and he's manifesting this to us as well, are gifts of divine life that I, God, give to you. And I give you the freedom not only to keep this great gift for yourself, but to multiply it in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future. So you're coming before the Lord with all of humanity, praying in the name of all of humanity, as Louisa did. See, they taught Jesus and Mary taught Louisa how to live their life, the new Adam and the new Eve. And as you read the book of heaven, this is a new and divine way of holiness that the saints were longing for. And he's waited for this time to give it to humanity. And Jesus says, I want you to keep this great gift, not only for yourself, but to multiply it in order to give this gift to whomever you want. Do you want your family to have this? Family doesn't want it now. Your neighbors don't want it now. Your parishioners don't want it now. But he says, I'm giving it to you, Louisa, so that you could give it to anyone who wants this. Whoever would want to receive this gift, it's theirs. So that doesn't mean the fullness. It's the beginning. What happens in the divine will? In the divine will, the first thing you say is, I want you to be the Lord of my heart, the King of my heart. I want my heart to be your throne. God goes, good, we've begun. And then he says, how much do you want this? So he teaches us the rounds and the acts and the rounds that we, with Louisa lived, that the way Jesus and Mary lived, the round of creation, to begin to see, hear, smell, taste, and touch all the I love yous of creation. I mean, it's how Adam lived. It's how Jesus lived, the new Adam. Mary lived, the new Eve. And as you begin to do your acts, each act that you do, Jesus says, is another molecule that's added to this conception of Jesus in your heart. Why? He wants this fullness. And so the acts that you do, the rounds that you do, keep on multiplying this life of Jesus in you. Why? To give birth to him. Our Lady Theotokos was the one who gave birth to God. And we're, it's not going to be the way Our Lady did. She's the mother of God. But Jesus wants to gaze in your gazing. Jesus wants to listen in your listening. Jesus wants to speak in your speaking so that we can be in his image and likeness, not ours. When you begin to understand humanity, it's fickle. The love of humans is fickle. But the love of God is a divine, I love you. And that's what God wants us to enter into. Who has this divine, I love you? Jesus, Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. Who possesses this fullness? Louisa. And now, little by little, 100,000 years from now, we're going to still be expanding, entering into this, to overflowing of this divine, I love you. So God is looking at us and he's saying, how much do you want this? He says very clearly, I give you divine life by what I, the word of God, speak to you through Louisa. I give you this life. I give you the freedom to keep this gift, not only for yourself, but I want you to multiply it because this is how I operate. This is how my mother operates. To give it to whom you ever you want, to whomever would want to receive it. So here, this new and divine way of holiness is so, it's so beautiful that your prayer life, I mean, we've learned the prayers of the saints for 2,000 years. We follow what they teach. We follow what they say. We want to even become religious following the founder of these communities. Jesus is saying, I want more than that for you. It's not only just to listen to the saints. He says, I want you now to listen to the way I'm going to teach and my mother's going to teach. So it's not through the workings of a saint. Like I finally learned how to pray because of Saint Ignatius or Saint Francis. Or it's now learned how to pray the way Jesus taught us. He taught one prayer. May your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth, this dust as it is in heaven. This is a great time to be alive. It's an amazing time to be alive. He loves us so much. So he says in volume 24, September 8th, this is Our Lady's birthday, 1928. The light of our divine will is interminable and inseparable. This light makes the soul in whom it reigns our own inseparable from us, triune God. This light is what God is calling us into. This is, we are being awakened, if you want to say, to enter into this divine light, this divine life, this divine love of God. Intermittable, inseparable, that makes the soul in whom it reigns God's own and inseparable from the triune God. That's the life of Adam. Now, this fullness isn't here yet. Why? We've just begun. We've just begun. And as you read, as you study, Louisa, she studied the Book of Heaven for 70 years, basically, listening to Jesus, entering into this life. Basically, it's like digging in a gold mine. There's work to be done. You just don't go into the earth and pick out, oh, here's a gold, kilo. You work hard. Okay. So what is our working? Our working is reading, studying, and putting this to practice. Now, if you can't read, I mean, I've had people say, well, I know some people that are blind, they can't read, so they can't live it. No, you can listen to the readings. Now, there was a time when we didn't have all the books, there was a time when all we had was mimeograph sheets of paper. And we would be in the prayer group going over a mimeograph sheet of paper, basically. You know, or, and then what happens, there was a few translations, but they weren't the best. But what we have now is, according to the Vicar General of Corrado, Trani, he says we have at this point the best translations. So thank God for that. For example, I mean, they're having trouble in certain areas because of poor translations. At one time, I think volume 7, way back when, volume 7 was translated from Italian to Portuguese, from Portuguese to Spanish, from Spanish to English. The worst translations in the world, because you got to go from Italian right to English. And God blessed us with a beautiful soul who helped us begin to understand this Puglian dialect. It's been heaven ever since. I mean, as you begin to read, as you begin to study. So Jesus is saying, we keep the soul as our own thing, inseparable from us. It is our interest, God says, to give honor to ourselves, to invest this soul, he's talking about Luisa, so much with all of our divine qualities, to be able to say to everyone in this creature, there is divine life, because the light of our fiat dominates her. If you're listening to the titles, 200 titles every day we're going to go through for 40 days, it's a new beginning for all of humanity, a new beginning for each and every one of us. How? When we begin to see these titles, these divine attributes that God is giving to Luisa. Listen to what he says. We keep Luisa as our own thing. Our interest is to give honor to ourselves by the one who lives in it. I mean, she has the true life of Jesus and Mary, and to invest Luisa so much with our divine qualities. This is when you read the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom, day 6, the 6th day, it's like creation. Here, God now breathes into Adam on this 6th day the divine qualities of God in Adam. So what came out of the dust is the image and likeness of God. And Jesus is saying to us, listen to these titles that I've given to Luisa. In this creature, Luisa, there is divine life, because the light of our fiat dominates in her. It's like, how do we do this? Go to Luisa. How do we begin to live this true life of Jesus, this true life of Mary? Go to Luisa. Why? To give honor to God. Finally, here's a soul born of original sin who possesses the divine qualities that Adam lost. Finally, there's a soul who now has this new and abundant way of living that John Paul II has prophesied about, of living the true life of Jesus and Mary. In this creature, Luisa, there is divine life, because the light of our fiat dominates. For most people, I was just thinking about this morning. For most people, this is too good to be true. And they go, thank you, but no thank you. And it's like, it's like giving a key to a Lamborghini to a 3-year-old. Here, this is what I got for you. And it's like, I'd rather play in the mud. When we begin to understand, when we really begin to understand what the saints have taught us, how to do the will of God, how to, like Lent's coming. This is a time for prayer, fasting, penance, conversion by mortifying yourself. Okay. That doesn't mean you hurt yourself, but I'm going to give up something of the earth to embrace something of heaven during these next 40 days. And that's what we're doing, listening to Luisa. We're getting like, the Lord is really excited about this time. He's really happy about this time. He said, when the book of heaven comes out, it will change the face of the earth. This is where we are today. The face of the earth is changing. We're seeing it happen. And we're waking up to the truth of who our God is, how beautiful, how holy, how perfect, how loving our God is. So Louisa says, after he says, there's divine life in Louisa because the light of our divine fiat dominates Louisa. It's her everything. And that's what God is looking for in us. After this, I was thinking to myself, she says, how many sacrifices are needed for this kingdom of the fiat? The sacrifice of writing. For us, the sacrifice of reading. The sacrifice of rest, you know, of sleep, suffering, incessant prayers, continuous death to the human will so that the divine will may have perennial life in us. So when people say, how do you do this? It's what's the formula for living in the divine will? It's your love. How much do you love God? Oh, I love Jesus Christ. He's my Lord, my Savior, my Master. But I have other things to do. So I'm keeping myself busy with sports, with hobbies, with, you know, anything of the earth, but I love Jesus. No, what happens is we have to see what Louisa did. And what did Louisa do? Louisa spent time in front of the Blessed Sacrament as a child. When you go to Our Lady of the Greca Church, right in front of her tomb, this is where she used to kneel as a little girl. Father Bucci would show us there's this square on the ground, and that's where she would kneel. And you could kneel right in the place where Louisa, as a little girl, adoring God and loving God and praising God and thanking God and glorifying God and worshiping God. This is, how much do you love Jesus? Do you spend time with him every day? Do you go and spend time with Jesus in front of the Blessed Sacrament? Is he your Lord? Oh, yes, 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 yes. Well, how do you prove it to Jesus? You prove it by being with him, falling in love with him, staying with him, adoring him and loving him and praising him and thanking him and blessing him. He says this to John, for all of us, to the apostles, for all of us, can you stay with me 1 hour? Holy Mass, you know, receiving Jesus in the Eucharist. And then for that 15 minutes until the host dissolves, adoring God and loving God and praising God and thanking God and glorifying God. We become aware of this beautiful gift of gifts, this prodigy of prodigies. The Holy Eucharist, he says, I give to humanity, I give to my church to prepare them for the perennial communion that I'm going to give to all of humanity, where we will walk and talk with God in the cool of the evening that Adam had, that Adam lost, that God wants to now give back to us. So how many sacrifices are needed? No more worry, sacrifice it. No more fear, sacrifice it. No more anxiety, sacrifice it. No more complaining, sacrifice it. No more negativity, sacrifice it. No more doubts, it's got to die. You stop feeding these demons of worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin. We stop feeding them. Why? So that you could be alive with Jesus, one with Jesus, filled with peace, joy, and happiness. Again, worry says to Jesus, you're not a good God. You're not doing what you should be doing. So therefore, I'm going to worry about this. If you really love your family, they would be consecrated to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the Immaculate Heart of Mary. This is the beginning of knowing that God is going to take care of your children, your grandchildren, your nieces, your nephews, your neighbor's kids down the street. He's going to take care of everyone if we can let him be the Lord. So these sacrifices that we do is sacrificing your worry, killing your worry. I'm not going to worry about this anymore. Jesus said that to the apostles. Does worry add one moment to your life? And he says, of course it doesn't. And then the command from Jesus is stop worrying. But you don't understand. I don't have this. I don't have that. Stop worrying. The Lord's going to take care of you. How? He loves his children. He the incessant prayers is the rounds that you make, the acts that you do in the divine will. The continuous death to the human will. What's the human will? It's all your worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin. That has to die so that the divine may have a perennial life in you that Adam had before the fall, and many other things that only Jesus knows. And after all this, maybe nothing good will be seen. No glory to God. See, the thing that you've got to be confident in is when you present it to Jesus, you don't have to see the result. God is going to take care of it. And therefore, we're constantly giving God glory and honor and praise. You know, but a lot of people, when they don't see anything, they don't praise God. The thing, again, the saints have taught us is when you present something to the Lord in petition, you also at the same time thank him for answering your prayer. It's Peter in the boat. Command me to come to you. Jesus, take my prayer and make it your command. Peter walked on the water and then he sank, crying out to Jesus, Lord, save me. And Jesus goes, why did you fail? Why did you falter? Where is your faith? We have to trust in Jesus. That's why the final devotion is Jesus, I trust in you. The 3 o'clock hour is important for each and every one of us. Therefore, so many sacrifices without utility and without effects. Why? They want to see what God is doing. I've prayed and prayed and prayed and my God hasn't answered my prayer. Well, maybe you should learn how to pray. Jesus, this is what I present to you. Let it become your command. And I thank you for answering my prayer. I don't have to see it. Like that was the centurion. You don't have to come to my house. I know what it means to be an authority. And Jesus said about this centurion, I have never found this much faith in Israel. And what does he do? He heals the son. You have to understand, our Lord wants to see if we recognize him as our God, our Savior. How can we do this? Well, do we have a crucifix in our room, in our home, in our house? Do we have a statue of Mary in our room, outside our house? I mean, We want to say to the Lord, you are my Lord, my Savior, my Master, my King, you're my all. The crucifix is the glory of God. The crucifix is the power of God. The crucifix, Christ crucified, is the wisdom of God. Our Lady, Mother and Queen, our Mother, our Queen of both heaven and earth. How do you live? You know, Has your house been consecrated to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the Immaculate Heart of Mary? When you go to Holy Communion, do you constantly give all of humanity to Jesus and Mary? That's our job, multiplying this gift. So here Louisa says, well, while I was thinking of all of this, my always lovable Jesus came from within my interior. Jesus says this to Louisa constantly in the 36 volumes. He comes from within her interior. Why? She has made Jesus her heart, his throne. That's where he reigns. Her love is Jesus Christ. Her love, when you always talk about Jesus, you always talk about Mary. It's always Jesus and Mary, the King and Queen of heaven and earth. And as I was thinking of this, my always lovable Jesus came out from within my interior. God wants to see this in us. Who's the Lord of your life? Who's the King of your life? Who's the Queen of your life? Is it Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve? That's why we're here. And what the evil one constantly does is, you know, don't think about Jesus and Mary. Think about this. I can offer you all the treasures of the earth if you honor me, the Lucifer says. No. I want Jesus as my Lord and Savior and Master. I want Mary as my mother and queen of heaven and earth. I want the new Adam and the new Eve in a way that the saints didn't know, in a way not just to do the will of God, but as God breathed into Louisa, living in the will of God. Listen to the titles. You're going to have a new understanding of how important Louisa is to Jesus, to Mary, to us. Who is this? Who is this Louisa Picaretta? So here, Jesus comes out from within the interior of Louisa. Is Jesus in your interior? Is he your everything? Is he your Lord, your King, your Savior, your God? Who is Jesus to you? Remember, he said that to the apostles. Who do people say that I am? You know, this and that. Who do you say that I am? God wants to hear it. If he is your Lord, your Savior, why aren't you happy? Why are you miserable? Why are you complaining? Why are you negative? It's because he's really not your Lord and your Savior. If you have Jesus as your Lord and Savior, again, we have to see what we need, these miracles in our life that we need, as the only one that can bring these miracles in these impossible situations that we feel we're in is Jesus. He can renew the face of the earth. He said this to his mother in the movie, The Passion of the Christ, when he gets up from being crushed under the weight of the cross. What does he say to his mother? He says, "See, I make all things new." He's going to make us new. This is why he's given us the divine will. It's not just about being good and holy and saintly that the saints have taught us, but now God wants us to share in divinity. As the priest puts a drop of water into the chalice, may we share in the divinity of Christ as Christ humbled himself to share in our humanity. I want Jesus in my interior. I want the Lord, the God, the holy, holy, holy Lord God of Sabaoth reigning in me. I want this more than anything. And so what happens? Jesus came out from within the interior of Louisa and clasping Louisa to himself, told her, "Daughter, what are you saying? There is not one sacrifice that you have made that will not have its value." He's saying that to us. Every prayer, it's going to have value. It's precious effect. You're going to see every sacrifice that giving no more life to worry. Watch what's going to happen. It's going to have a value in your heart, your mind, your soul. It's going to have a precious effect in what you think, say, and do. It's to live the life, the true life of Jesus and Mary, not by just doing the will of God like the saints have taught us for 2,000 years, but now to begin to live this abundant life of Jesus and Mary reigning in us the way Adam did before the fall. But it's even more because Adam did not have Jesus as his Adam and Mary as his Eve. This is why he failed. And he says to Louisa, "You cannot fail because of the life that you have, the true life of the new Adam and the new Eve." Therefore, he says it's not just one sacrifice that you have made that will not have its value, one prayer that you have made, its precious effect, one prayer that you have made. I mean, you have to begin to rejoice in the fact that what you have presented to God as his command, he is going to do in the perfect way, not in a fallen human way, even though we've been redeemed, but a perfect divine way. He says it will have a precious effect in what you think, say, and do, because everything that is done in my most holy divine will, and to impetrate that it be known, begging God, may we all of humanity know your kingdom is coming on earth as it is in heaven. It's the fulfillment of the Our Father. The only prayer that Jesus taught us acquires divine life. So what Jesus is saying, he saved the best for last. This to know this gift acquires divine life. To communicate this virtue, it needs divine life as its nature, in such a way as to be able to communicate it to all of humanity. Your family doesn't want to hear about it now. Your neighbors don't want to hear about it now. As a matter of fact, that some people think you're out of your mind because where do you get this? Well, just start reading the Book of Heaven. This new and divine way of holiness is here if you want it. So Jesus says, there's not going to be many who will live in the divine will, but these few will affect all of humanity. These few, he says, is my divine army. The divine will is my divine army that's going to conquer the world, drive the devil out, and the kingdom is going to be established on earth as it is in heaven. This communicative virtue, as this divine life is its nature. I mean, it's God by nature, grace by our so it's divine life of Jesus, and it's the divine grace that's given to Our Lady to possess this gift. And it's the same thing for us. To communicate this divine life of Jesus and Mary, the virtue to possess this divine life of Jesus and Mary, so much so that everything you have done, everything that you have suffered is present at this moment before God, past, present, and future. Everything is before God with what? It's an imperative act, this pleading of God for the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven, to obtain that humanity disposes themselves. All of humanity is going to say yes to God. Those that want heaven are going to say yes to God. Those that don't want heaven, this is where Our Lady says it's going to be good for some, bad for most. Most people don't want heaven. They want earth. They want the things of earth. The things of heaven are divine. And those creatures that dispose themselves and that God concedes this good that's so great, he's going to breathe this into humanity. He's breathing it into us right now, little by little. And the more that we read and study and put this in practice, the more we begin to understand who Luisa is. Who is she? Who is she? Listen to the titles. It makes us aware that Jesus did not do this for the saints. The saints learned how to do the will of God, to learn the ABCs of the Catholic faith, to begin to live this abundant life is now for us. Why? It's time. Jesus says to prove that the kingdom of God is going to come on earth as it is in heaven, is you have the Book of Heaven. This is proving it. As you read it, honest to goodness, everything begins to change in you. As you study it, everything changes in you. Why? It's exactly what Jesus said. Everything that you have done, everything that you have suffered is in this moment before God to obtain that all of humanity will dispose themselves. This great event that's coming, this great outpouring of the Holy Spirit that's coming, this second Pentecost, God says, get ready for what I'm going to do. And some of the saints have said, what Jesus is going to do is even going to astonish Our Lady, because the love that's there, this eternal love of God as our Father, he's going to take care of us. And so what the Lord is looking for is for us to learn this, for us to get ready for this. I mean, it's like I said, it's like giving the keys of a brand new Lamborghini to a 3-year-old. We have to become mature. Keep on reading, keep on studying, keep on putting this into practice. Jesus is teaching us every day. When you pray your rounds every day, the round of creation becomes more of an I love you to God. And why? It's Jesus in us that's saying this to the Father. It's a new and divine way of holiness that the saints only dreamt of. The saints taught us how to do this will. God is now teaching us how to live in the will of God. May the blood that flowed upon the wood of this cross free us from our human will, that we live in God's holy divine will always. We ask this in Jesus' name, under the mantle of Mary, through the intercession of Luisa, and we pray that this prayer becomes God's command. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you.